if you are located outside of the European Union, the United Kingdom and or Switzerland, then you need an authorized representative. So, I have a good news. You have found it with Easy Medical Device. And if you are also in need of an importer in Europe and in Switzerland, then contact us definitely at info@easymedicaldevice.com. info@easymedicaldevice.com, and I'm sure we can help you. Welcome to the Medical Device Made Easy podcast. I am Mounir Elazouzi, a medical device expert specialized on quality and regulatory affairs. My mission is to help you learn how to place a compliant medical device on the market. For that, I share with you my experience and the one of others on this podcast. Are you ready for your dose of regulation and standards today? Okay, so let the show begin. Welcome to the Medical Device Made Easy podcast. Here is Mounir Elazouzi from easymedicaldevice.com. And today, we'll talk about a subject that is not really great to talk about. It's in the case your company goes bankrupt. So what will happen to this? Because I have experience with customers where their notified body starts really to look at certain clauses of the EUMDR, and they start also to raise some non-conformance about that. And one is about if your company goes bankrupt. And to talk about that, I have with me Karan Deep Badwar. So Karan Deep, welcome to the Medical Device Made Easy podcast.
Thank you for having me on, Gumbani. How are you today?
I'm good. Thank you. So we are close to a bank holiday, so we'll have a great time, I hope, with the family. But as I said, before that, I think we have to talk about this kind of subject and to help people maybe to understand more about what may happen. But before that, Karan Deep, quickly, because I know a lot of people know you, but who are you and how can you help? I mean, who are you first? And then we can talk about how you can help people later.
Sure. I'm Karan Deep and I'm a quality and regulatory consultant working within the medical devices space. Just like Mani, I'm also a content creator where I love to talk about quality and regulatory, and also host of the MedTech podcast where I interview people within different medical technologies around the world.
Exactly. So don't hesitate to go on Karan Deep's channel, so YouTube channel and also podcast, because there are also great people that are talking about, not specifically about anything regarding regulatory, technical topics like what we are doing on the podcast. So more sharing experience also, which is are really great also. Karan Deep, as we said, we have to talk about a certain topic. So the company that goes bankrupt. I imagine that when a company is close to go bankrupt, it's really difficult already for them. But when we look at the EUMDR, now there is a specific, now it's been a long time, but there is a specific section saying, in the case you go bankrupt, you have to do something, if I can say. So it's not like you go bankrupt and you can take holidays for a long time or whatever. So can we talk specifically about this section, what it says and what normally is expected from the companies when they have to comply to this?
Yeah, so it's a bit of a strange one, really. It specifically states, so the actual wording is, each member state shall require that the documentation referred to in Section 7, that's like your technical documentation, declaration of conformity, etc., is kept at the disposal of the competent authorities for the period indicated in the section. So that's 10 years for MDR or 15 years for implantables. And it also has to be kept by the authorized representative and established when his territory goes bankrupt or ceases his business activity prior to the end of that period. So if you are out there selling products and you as a company go bankrupt, you are still liable to keep all of that documentation in place effectively, even though the company is no longer functioning or actively on the market.
And this is something that, we know that this was, if I can say, on the EUMDR written, but recently I got some companies that called me that got audited by a notified body and received observations to these requirements, which was a bit strange. But do you have the same experience?
Yeah, it's becoming more and more common. If you look at the EUMDR, this is something that's very easily overlooked. There's a lot of important pieces on the EUMDR, but I find this is one that companies are missing out on. And even it took me by surprise to see that some clients that I'm working with are getting this as an observation. And that's sort of now highlighting the importance of this. But, a lot of companies don't even realize that they have to do this.
Exactly. And the same as we have also another clause like liability insurance for a company. We have a lot of clauses that are there that seem really irrelevant to the business we are working on, but it's in the EU MDR, so you have to comply to it. And as you say, it's sometimes caught by surprise and say, guys, what's happening here? I mean, it's a bit strange. So can we maybe explain maybe from our interpretation, because I'm not a lawyer, you are not a lawyer, and maybe some other lawyers can look at this and check exactly how it's working, but how should we interpret this requirement? So what is the competent authority expecting from us or the manufacturers?
So generally, when you're sitting in an audit and an auditor asks you a question, you can't just turn around and say, yes, we will do this, and there's no paper or there's no record or anything like that. So generally, my recommendation of what to do in this situation is best to have a documented procedure. And that's for two reasons. Number one, of course, it's a record. It proves that you are doing something to be compliant to this. And number two is that if you do end up in a situation when the company is going bankrupt, you've now got a procedure where you know what to do and how to do it properly. If you just say that you're going to do it, or you just write a form and say, hey, you know, if one day we go bankrupt, that's not really the most effective way of doing it. So how exactly can you prove compliance? By having a documented procedure is the best way of dealing with it.
And for the EU Commission, when they wrote that, is there really a reason for this company to maintain all those documents, and even if they are going bankrupt? So what is exactly the reason they think that, why it's really important for them?
The reason is very important because if the company, even if they go bankrupt, their devices are possibly still going to be out on the market and still being used. Now, if something goes wrong with those devices, it's through investigation of things like the technical documentation and what records that they have that they can probably try to find out what the issue is. And then, of course, number two, it helps people understand what the device is all about. So your technical documentation is basically the blueprint of the device. So even if that company goes bankrupt, at least 4 years from there, you can actually go back to the technical documentation. You can assess what went wrong. Also, number three, of course, is that sometimes, unfortunately, there are devices that may become defective, not necessarily immediately, maybe after 5 or 6 years. So then at least then you can do an investigation by the technical documentation, say, okay, did these guys build the technical documentation properly? And if there's gaps in there, it can quite clearly highlight what the risks of that device is. So it really comes down to traceability. That is the main purpose of this sort of thing.
Yeah, so usually, I mean, when a company is not going bankrupt, but they are working specifically, so if there is an issue on the market, they receive a call from someone saying, oh, we have a complaint, there was an issue on the market, and they ask them, oh, what is the lot number, what is the reference number of the product, what is the thing, so that they can check on their documentation, make some investigation. They ask those customers to send back maybe the product also for a physical investigation also, so there is some kind of work to be done to verify, to check. They have the knowledge of the design and development team to check, oh yes, this is possible or not possible, etc. I mean, it's not just a one-man activity, it's mainly a team activity, everything. So what I'm surprised here is just to say, okay, you keep those documents or information, etc. Who will do the investigation? Who will do all that work? Mainly because all the team is gone. So is it the competent authority that will take the documents and do that check? Or is it the authorized representative, as we talk about authorized representative also inside? So what is the expectation here? I mean, I know maybe you don't have the answer, but maybe some guess here.
My guess is the competent authority may have some help with it, but generally it's going to be the onus of the manufacturer. Reason being is the manufacturer is the one who understands their product, is their name on it. They basically legally made the device. So really, is who would you give this responsibility to? Now, if the company's gone bankrupt and no one's working with that company anymore, the other options may be that maybe the EU rep is still active and that's somebody that can take on this role. Another option is you can maybe use like a consulting firm. You know, you say to them, hey, look, we're going bankrupt. This is our technical documentation. Please keep it for 10 years. We'll pay you a retainer. If there's ever any investigation, please, you know, sort it out for us. Your lawyers may possibly get involved. I'm not sure what the process will be like for bankruptcy, but the lawyer maybe have some involvements. And that's generally it. So there's no clear-cut answer in terms of who will manage this. And really, in my opinion, it needs to be a collection because the EU rep may go bankrupt after 2 years. The consulting firm that you're working with may go into retirement. So there's a lot of moving parts, and I don't really think it's wise to just give it to one person or one entity. It needs to be a collection of people that can be called upon for that information.
So when you read now the sentence again, each member state shall require that the documentation is kept at the disposal of the competent authority for a period indicated, etc., or its authorized representative. So is there an option? I mean, when you read that, is there an option like I just contact my competent authority and say, I go bankrupt, here are all my files, keep them? So is this an option, do you think?
It should be, and effectively it is the competent authority is probably going to be getting involved because they're the one who granted you the CE mark. And so it makes sense. I mean, strictly speaking, they already have your technical documentation, or at least parts of it, when they're doing their assessment. So they're already holding that anyway. So it would be making sense for them to do that. And maybe that's a service that notified bodies may start to offer. But I'm not sure the ins and outs of it. Maybe legally speaking, it has to be someone independent. So, you know, because they're your competent authority, maybe there's some legal ramifications of it if they do it. But it is an interesting one. It would make sense for the competent authorities to do that. And the reason being is that they have the in-house expertise. They got other guys assessing the technical documentation. Who better than the assessors, the people that know where to look when it comes to these issues?
Hey, just a second. Do you need an EU, Swiss or UK representative? Then choose Easy Medical Device. We can represent you and also become your importer. Contact us at eo@easymedicaldevice.com. Yeah, because, I mean, we, Easy Medical Device, we are authorized representative, but if we keep those documents and they ask us to investigate on things, I mean, I'm not a designer of the products. I have no clue how it's mainly working. We are authorized representative, for example, but I will not be able to really make this investigation. Apart from saying, okay, here is the file for the product that you're talking about and look at it. I have no expertise to check the dimensions or check the resistance or check the efficacy. I mean, have no clue how this is working. I'm not the designer for that. So it's more about this process also that is, we have to guess, if I can say, how, if it happens, really how everything is working. Because I understand the EUMDR saying, yes, you have to be prepared for that in case, but what happened after, it's more of a fuzzy situation here. If we are now, okay, as I said, we have an audit now with the notified body. He comes and he checks, he says, oh, we have this clause, etc. How do you prevent that, or how do you anticipate that? Should I have a procedure, or should I have a contract already with a company that maybe will take care of that? I mean, what is the official document I should have here to show to a notified body, mainly to say, here is the proof that I have anticipated this case here?
So at minimum, yes, have a contract in place with your authorized representative, or maybe a consulting firm, or maybe somebody else that you're working with. That's at minimum to show you've got the intent. But ideally, you need to have a procedure. Why you need to have a procedure? A procedure is it's a written set of instructions of what you're actually going to do. Because a contract is just, okay, well, if we went bankrupt, they will deal with it. Okay, how are they going to be dealing with it? You know, what are the steps that these people are going to take in the bankruptcy process? And again, the most important thing about having a procedure is if, unfortunately, a company is getting to the position where it's going to be bankrupt, at least you've got a written, recorded documentation that's controlled within your documentation repository, telling you what to do step by step, you know, telling you to contact the competent authorities, telling you the process of maybe onboarding lawyers, what the file transfer process will look like, how to go about doing it, etc. So the real ultimate way, the most bulletproof way that I recommend it, is have a clear-cut procedure that not only talks about your intent of what you're going to do, but how you're going to do it and who will do it exactly.
Exactly. I mean, a procedure is mainly the thing that a company should comply to. A mix with the procedure plus maybe a contract. If you have an authorized representative, maybe you can try to have that in the contract and include a payment also for that for the next 10 years, etc. But yeah, what is more difficult is to already think about that. I mean, this is the difficulty. Like, I am also, I created my company and work on that. It's like, Munir, think now of your company will die. And what will you do? I don't want to think about that. So this is mainly this idea of, okay, think about this thing. As we mentioned just before recording, so a business continuity plan, so like how you will do if something happens, etc. So what you will work. So, I mean, how can we think about that? I mean, it's weird, but mainly this is what we are asking them to do.
Yeah, I mean, don't go bankrupt would be our advice. But then, yeah, it's kind of, it's like insurance, right? The reason people get insurance, whether that's on your car or whether on your home, it's not because you want to get damages or anything like that. It's just that if the worst case scenario happens, you're covered. And that's basically kind of what we're seeing here with this.
And one thing also is about, as we said, we go bankrupt, so we have no more money, if I can say. Now we are asking to authorized representative or lawyer or consultant or anybody to keep an eye on our documents and to work with those documents and to keep confidentiality. I mean, to be also liable for this kind of thing. Who is paying for all that?
That's a very interesting one, because generally, if you're bankrupt, you owe money to creditors and you may not necessarily have access to money. But again, not a lawyer. As far as I'm aware, when a company is going through bankruptcy, that it is allowed to make certain costs. So it may be that during the bankruptcy process, a portion of that money can be allocated towards this. Another option, I think, is just like you were discussing earlier, you know, just pay for it upfront. You know, pay your EU authorized representative, say, okay, for the next 10 years, this is what we're going to do when it comes to these documentation. So at least then you're covered. Another one you can do is basically just keep the money there, maybe in like escrow or something, just sitting there in an account saying that, okay, and you say to your lawyer, if bankruptcy ever happens, these funds will cover this process. So that's really what it is. So it's a weird situation. So if you're bankrupt, how exactly do you put the costs in place for you to keep the documentation when you don't have access to money in the first place? So yeah, it's a bit of a weird one. So my view would be, pay it up front, or at least allocate the funds up front, basically. That's the best way around it.
Exactly. And I mean, we are just guessing here, and it's really some options that we are giving here to the audience. But yeah, you have to also consult maybe a lawyer or somebody that is more knowledgeable on the laws of your country or laws of for your business to understand more about what are the options and how you can prevent this and put in place that. But the idea is more about showing a proof to a notified body that you have a plan for that, you have a solution for it in case it happens, and that you can then comply to this EU MDR requirements. Because there is also one requirement on the EU MDR that says about, as we talked about, if there is a complaint or a vigilance, there is still need about investigation, as we talked about informing the notified body or informing the authorities about a potential issue, etc. So these are all the things that have also to be planned. In case there is an issue, then you have to have somebody that is maybe able to report that to the authorities or do something. So there are a lot of things like that. We had also an option that we talked about. It's about your insurance. Because on the EU MDR, you have also to have a liability insurance in case there is an issue on the market, so that you can pay for any damages or whatever. So is there an option also to already take an insurance now in case you go bankrupt and then to cover those kind of costs?
I think you should generally speak with your insurance company. It's quite hard to get medical device specific insurance that covers things like PRC. And I know there's solutions coming out there that are going to start covering these things. But if you call an insurance company and say, what's a PRC? They'll have absolutely no idea what you're talking about, right? So I think really what you should try to do and what the insurance companies is try to negotiate with them, because generally insurance companies may have some sort of policy when it comes to bankruptcy. But if you clearly state to your insurance company, say, look, in addition to the bankruptcy, there's also a requirement to keep these documents for 10 years. Maybe there's something that incorporated into your insurance policy. And again, if you can do something like that, there's something you can show to the auditor, say, hey, look, not only do we have insurance, but should this situation ever happen, the insurance company will sort it out for us. So that's another way of showing compliance to that.
And maybe some, yeah, I say insurance companies are listening to this podcast, because I know one that was listening. He contacted me after, because for PRC, we discussed about that. So maybe by hearing that, they can also create this service for companies and then to take care also of this kind of issue that may happen, and then cover also the cost for this kind of thing. Because as we said, at the end, it's not really about the company itself. It's also about the patient that will be using the device. It's about the safety for them. It's about trying to track any potential issue and to avoid that this issue is happening to many other patients. So there are a lot of kind of safety, performance and safety that we have to look at. So yeah, even if the company goes bankrupt, we have some patient that has some implants on them. So we have to have some kind of continuity of the investigation, continuity of the information for those patients. Anything else here that we missed or?
Yeah, generally, so go back to my original advice, the best way of dealing with it, of course, try not to go bankrupt.
Yeah.
Again, there's no hard and fast rule of how to do this. That's the purpose of this discussion today. You know, we've agreed that procedures is the best way to do it. But I think if there's listeners there today who are working with notified bodies or in the authorities, you know, please share your opinions. You know, what is the best practice? We want to be compliant. Tell us how you want us to do it, and then we can do that moving forward.
Exactly, yeah. So don't hesitate also, yeah, to comment if I can say on the podcast, on the YouTube channel, or on LinkedIn, on the post that we'll be raising. If you have some ideas also, some questions or something that maybe we didn't cover, so it will be will be really appreciating to hear from you, and or to tell us maybe that we are completely wrong and that we need to we have all those solutions that are already in place and that can be working for manufacturers. Because the idea here is just that, as we said, we are not lawyers. We are guessing, trying to identify what we can do to avoid some non-conformance from notified body, also what we can show to them, etc. So if you have some ideas, or if you passed an audit and you had those questions and then you had a good solution, so don't hesitate also to share that with us. Okay, Karandeep, so how can you help the audience, and where can they find out about you, and maybe as we talk about podcasts and YouTube?
Yeah, generally, I'm mostly active on LinkedIn, and that is the best way to reach out to me. And I'll also share my email address with you, Maria, and you can put that in the show notes if anybody has any questions.
Great. So don't hesitate to contact also Karandeep if you have any questions. Karandeep is located in the UK, so he can also help you on a lot of activities there. And yeah, so let's see. I hope we'll have a lot of comments regarding this this episode related to this question. And if you have had this experience also of bankruptcy and you know what's happening after that, don't hesitate also to contact me, because if we can share that also with other people, if we can have somebody that has this experience and knows exactly what they should put in place after that, so don't hesitate also, and we can feature you also on this podcast. So thank you for that. Okay, Karandeep, so it was really great having you. Thanks for all this information. I hope it will be helping manufacturers to avoid some non-conformances. And yeah, let's see how this will be going. But I wish everybody to never go bankrupt. So yeah, just try to do everything to avoid that. Okay, Karandeep, so thank you and wish you a nice day.
Thank you very much, Milena.
Bye. Thanks for listening. So if you like this episode, please provide a review on the platform where you are listening to it. And also don't forget to share it with your colleagues. Thank you very much.